First of all, I want to thank you for helping us to help all the people that Joe is going to show you a bunch of them. Secondly, I want to challenge you to reach out to your neighbors with the love of Jesus. We had a Bible study a few years back called If You Want to Walk on the Water, You Have to Step Out of the Boat. And I want to read you just a little bit from Matthew chapter 14, if I can find it. My kids were texting this morning, so. Okay, it starts at verse 25. And it says that in the fourth watch, on the night Jesus went on the... I'll start again. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And it doesn't say that they called him or anything, they would come to them. He says he went unto them. And Jesus often comes to us. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit, like a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. There's a lot in that passage. I want to, when I thank people, I want to include our family, our extended family, our church here, and a church family that's all over the United States and Canada. We've met so many people, and they've all helped support our projects. John likes to call us, Pastor John likes to call us missionaries, but we're not really. We're just a couple of seniors. So my point is, if you want to see God use you more, you have to get out of your comfort zone. We have to get out of our comfort zones. I'm talking to myself here. Anyway, let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you. I thank you for looking after us. I thank you for leading us, guiding us. Lord, I thank you for so many blessings. I thank you for your church. I thank you for using Jill and I to help others. Lord, bless your people as they have blessed others. And give Jill the right words to tell about what we've been doing in Mexico. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, we shared a lot of pictures with you throughout the winter and since we've been home. So we're going to take a little different angle this year. We're going to show you we don't only just work in Mexico, we do some fun things too. But this is our network that we've built in Mexico since we've been going there. Miguel and Don Maurice in the right-hand corner, and their three boys. They were the people we built the house for in 2018. With them are Bethany and Jordan right behind them, and they are church planters in Mexico. And they have been working on getting a church going in Cuavos, which is about 10 miles from El Gadón's. El Gadón's is right on the border, So this is a little further into Mexico, a little further to drive in. We've been there a couple times, not with them, but with other people we've worked with there. And it's it needs a church. They just bought property this last week. And now they're in the planning stage of what to build with, how to build. And in July, Jordan goes out on the road. He visits. They have quite a few churches in Texas and on that side of the states that support them. So he'll go visiting churches. Up in the top is Ulysses and Natasha, and their two kids. And they're the people that we're building the house for this year. Tony and Irene in the bottom corner, and they're the people that go out to the along the canal to all the families out there. And we're going to show you some of those people today that we got to go deliver food with Tony one day. And it was so much fun. Next slide, please. So when we got there, Miguel and Don Maurice, this is the house we built in 2017, they were wanting to paint. So we went down to Mexico and we bought paint. This is a store in Mexico. The paint is just pails and pails and pails of paint there. And you can't see, but over here, it's all open to the street. It's an open-air store. So we went home with the paint, and right away, Miguel starts painting. But as he moved around the house, he moved the table so Bethany and I could sit and watch him paint. When I said it's time to go home, he quit painting. But they had painted the house one other time since we built the house, and but they had never painted the back wall because it was high. They ran out of paint. So the whole house has been painted again. You can see they've got a little bit of grass growing. That big tree by the fence, it was just a little baby, about this big when we were mapping out where the house would go. And it moved about 5 times because the house kept moving. But eventually it went outside the fence to make shade over where their table is there now. Next slide, please. And this was inside the house. The house was all painted the turquoise color in the corner. When they built the house, that was the color they painted or picked. So we had them come to Yuma and we went to Home Depot so we could get good semi-gloss paint that they could wash. The paint in Mexico is all flat and it doesn't wash. It washes off the wall. So again, as soon as they got home, Don Maurice sent pictures. Miguel was painting. So they painted gray in all the kitchen, the living room, the hallway, and up the stairs. And then this one wall, they painted the royal blue color, and the door, out two doors outside, they painted the blue. Next color, please. This is one of the men that Tony takes food to. I don't know if you can see, but in the distance, way far back over that green field, there's a town about 3 miles away. This man could hardly walk out of his house. He lives there by himself in the middle of these fields. There's a little canal goes by, and once in a while, he tries to walk to town. Well, 3 miles, and you're walking like this. It's going to take you a long time. So thankfully, somebody usually picks him up. But this is one of the people you've sent food to. Tony visits him once a week and brings him food and checks on him. In the hammock, it's full of cotton balls. There was cotton growing in the field the year before. He picked the cotton balls, filled his hammock to lay in it because it makes it softer. Howard's going up a rickety ladder, which is quite normal for Mexico. He wanted to look at the roof, and it was in dreadful shape, right? But he lives there all by himself, a little dog. When we drove up, Tony says, "Oh, what happened to him? The yard was all cleaned up." And he was kind of anxious. And when we got out of the car, he went to the door right away, and he was there. But somebody from a church in town had come out and picked up all the dead branches and cut a bunch of trees. Next picture, please. So we went out. This is Tony with Howard with a couple kids. And Tony had been given some, there was sidewalk chalk and some toys and stuff. So we not only handed out food that day, there was a soccer ball, but we handed out some toys to the kids. And the blender, I'm not sure what the blender was about. The kids carried it out. And we asked Tony later, did they need a new blender? I don't know, he says. He didn't say. The lady on the far, with me on the far side, that's her name is Dwana, and we've showed you pictures of her before. She was the lady that needed a cook stove or an electric hot plate when we were there. And when we got there, she told us her stove had quit and they had tried to fix it. They couldn't fix it. So she needed another one. Next slide, please. Here's some more people. This man lives by himself in the purple shirt, and he was so glad to see us. The lady in the blue shawl, that's one of the things that we gave out that day, and she immediately wrapped up in it. And it wasn't cold. It was quite warm. But you can see they're dressed warm with bunny hugs and stuff. There were a lot of grandkids here that were living with her. The man on the far side that Tony's talking to, he's blind. His son kicked him out, said, you can't live here anymore. So he was homeless. So a pastor has given him, he has like just a cement room on the back of his house where he sleeps, of the pastor's home. And every day he comes to this little store and sits out there and begs. When we stopped there, he stood up and he prayed for us for, I don't know, forever, 15, 20 minutes. He prayed for us. And we were so blessed. Next slide, please. And here's a little girl. We give her the sidewalk chalk. And when she come running out, I didn't even have time to open the door. Tony just rolled down the window and said, just give it to her. So I just handed it out the window. And at another house, this little boy, he come out. And we give him a bag of food. Look at the smile. These are the people you have been helping feed, that you've been sending money to for a couple of years down there. And we wanted to share some of their faces with you today. Then the gentleman with Howard down there in the bottom, he came out and had a chat with Tony. None of these people speak English, so for us to talk to them, Tony had to translate for us. And the lady up in the top right-hand corner is Dwana, the lady that needed a stove. When we were shopping, we got into a wholesale club or wholesale store. One of the guys at Miguel's church has a business, and he took us there. And Howard found a stove for, what was it, $10, $15? Yeah. So when we were leaving, this happened just before we left. We met another fellow. I'll show you a picture later, named Leo. We met he and his wife for coffee and had lunch or supper with him, I guess, in San Luis. He works in Algodones. So we give the stove to him. He took it back to Algodones, where Tony works. He gave it to Tony. Tony took it to Dwana. So Dwana got her stove. Next picture, please. This is Bethany and Ashlyn. Now, when every year they have a church anniversary, Miguel was celebrating his 11th year since he built their church there. So Howard and I bought desserts for them, and Bethany and Ashlyn helped me make them. We were expecting about 45 people. We made 82 desserts. There were 75 people showed up, so there was none left. Next picture, please. This is them people arriving at the church. Up in the top right-hand corner is Joshua. He's one of Miguel's twins. Carol, you would know this. Tim would know this. I don't know this. When you lead singing, you go something like that. That's it. Joshua has it down pat. He just is a natural. And he leads singing in Miguel and Don Maurice's church all the time. And then a picture of Pastor Miguel down in the right-hand corner playing the guitar later during the service. Next, please. Now, after the service, supper was served out on tables in the sand. Now, at Miguel's church, you can see the tables and the posts. They have a metal roof that they've put up for shade there. And that's where they had the food served. There's also benches. You can see these men can hardly touch the ground. I'm not sure why they built them so high. I need help. Somebody has to practically shove me up onto them. But they do serve a purpose, I guess. You can see there's stairs at the end by the wall there. The kitchen for this church is on the second floor. So they had all the kids from the church carried the food down the stairs. This is Caleb, Miguel's other twin, on a tray, and he did very well. Can you see? Am I standing in your way? So I took a picture of the waiters. And then they had a campfire afterwards that everybody could warm up around. Next slide, please. Oh, I forgot to tell you. The church bought the meat for their supper out of our food. Now, this is Ulysses Church, 1 year anniversary. And you can see the meat in the big pot. Dawn Maurice is there, and then Natasha, and then a lady from the church on the left. And they make a meat called Molly. And I should have phoned, or should have asked what all goes into it. But there's lots of beef. It's kind of like a pulled beef here. But it has chocolate in it. It has onions. It has a sauce, tomatoes, and it's delicious. And it's really special. We also bought the meat for Ulysses Church supper from the church. Next picture, please. This is in Ulysses' anniversary. They set up in the garage. And in their garage, remember, they put the big tarps up for them so they could hold church there. So the people at the front up top are from Mexicali, and they came with flutes and violins and guitars and did the music. And then just some of the tables set up. There were 100 people at this supper. And there's a picture of the Molly up there. The meat is the Molly. They had pasta salad and had corn and stuff in it, and beans, of course, always beans. Next picture. Well, we were having the service in the garage. The kids had kids' church inside the house. And this is in Ulysses and Natasha's house where they were holding church for a while till they got too big. They had They had kids' church, and then they had supper, and then they served the adult supper. Next, please. Now, this is where we live. So we were hoping maybe if we showed you we didn't live in one of those places in Mexico, some of you would come visit us. So that's a picture of how we're down in front of our park model. And this is Miguel in our dining table. And then Bethany and Dawn Maurice. We had all these people many times for meals in our home over there. Ulysses and Natasha and Miguel and Dawn Maurice. And the kids are eating out on the deck. Next picture, please. Now, we told you we'd do some fun things, too. So Ulysses and Howard come up with this idea. Let's go to Mazatlan, 15-hour drive in Mexico, in Ulysses' truck with Ulysses, Natasha, two kids, and Howard and I. I don't think so. And Howard agreed. No, he didn't think so. But it would be fun. So then Ulysses found tickets, $25 a ticket, $50 for airport fees. So for $75, we could fly return to Tijuana. So we did. We bought their tickets. They supplied the home to stay in with his aunt. Oh, yes. So then to start with, Ulysses says, okay, you guys fly. I'll drive down because when we're there, we can pay $50. We can go fishing for marlin. We can catch a big fish. We can cut it up, freeze it, and bring it home and sell it. And Natasha looks at Ulysses, and then she looks at us, and she says, I think I'll go with them. So then he was going to ship it on a bus, and he was going to do all this stuff. And Howard says, I'm not going out in the ocean to catch a marlin, sorry. So we went to stay with a family we had never met, in a house we had never seen. And no idea where we're going. It took me a long time to come around, but finally I did. I called all the people that would tell me, you know, there's COVID, you shouldn't go. Bobby was one of them. You know what he said? Go. I phoned Howard's sister. She would never do anything like this. She said, oh, I think it's a great idea. You should go. No support. So this is the house where we stay. Yes. Yeah, they're Ulysses' aunt and uncle. Ulysses spent quite a bit of time living with them when he was growing up. His mom and dad would take him down there. He'd stay 5 months, 2 years, 5 years. He was there a lot. So this is the house. They built a second floor on top of this house, and they rent two apartments out. I ate shrimp for 9 days out of 10 days there. It was so good. It was the biggest shrimp I've ever seen, wrapped in bacon, grilled. It was delicious. The trucks come by every few minutes, and they just yell out, they're selling agua, water, carne, meat. They're selling all this stuff. So you just walk out your patio, and you buy whatever you need. Bring fresh marlin right to the door. I would be broke if I lived there. Then we went down to the ocean, and we ordered lunch on the sand. So we're sitting at tables out in the sand with just an umbrella over us. Pretty warm for me, but it was a nice breeze off the ocean. And Howard and I ordered fish. Well, that's the fish they brought us. It's a whole fish from here to there. It has salad, it has beans, it has rice, it has salsa. Ulysses and Natasha ordered a deep-fried fish, and Ulysses just held it up like this and pulled the meat off of it. He ate all of theirs while she was busy with the kids. So she helped us because there's no way we could finish that. Next page, please. Yeah, it was about $12 for our meal. So then this is Howard playing in the waves because we do fun things. We don't just work all the time. Yeah. I used this picture on the far right at the top so you could see the spider web of power lines. The power lines in Mexico amaze us. How they don't burn everything down. Howard tried, he was very interested in buying the house over there on the corner, but it belongs to somebody else. That's me down in downtown Mazatlan in a square. It's beautiful there, lots of trees and stuff. At night we went down there. You're not supposed to go out in Mexico at night, but we had Mexican guides. So we went, and it's all lit up with lights and things. And poor Wayne, Howard kept saying, send Wayne a picture of this latte with the heart and the brownie. You miss coffee again. Next, please. And then, I don't know if you remember, the first project we ever did in Mexico was in Algodones. We worked on a church there, and Aaron and Irene were the pastors. I hadn't seen Irene for 5 years, and Aaron and Irene have split up, and it was really, really hard on her. But we've been in touch. And we went to see her. When we got back to Tijuana, we took our van to Tijuana. Ulysses drove. And then he took us to the edge of Tijuana because he didn't want us driving in Tijuana. Praise God. Even he was having difficulties. And then we went on to Ensenada, where Irene lives, and we went and stayed with her and her mom and dad in their house. Her dad has Alzheimer's, and we weren't sure how he would react to us being in the house, but he just asked us, so where are you from? Canada. It's very cold there. Yeah, it is. I came from someplace in Mexico, yeah, but my father was from the States. Where are you from? Over and over and over again. But it didn't bother us. We just answered his questions. But her mom and dad, her mom and Irene kept telling, no, 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 but it was okay. So this is a picture of Irene and me and her mom and dad. Irene has a Cricut. I don't know if you know what a Cricut is. It's a machine you can cut paper and stuff and make things out of. So she started a business. She makes greeting cards. And these are little bags she was making for a baby shower. and they put like a goodie bag in it. And she's built a business through that she uses. And this is just a picture of her. Howard got coffee about 9:30 at night. I know it looks like tea, but the house was full of teapots where we went for this coffee. And shrimp, or lobster. Newport, Baja, California. 100 restaurants, they all sell lobster. And the waiter says, "I'm sorry, we only have medium lobster tonight. Biggest lobster I ever ate." Next picture, please. Sylvia. Remember Sylvia was the lady that feeds the kids at her house? And she, we've supported her for several years. Well, we drove by, and it looked like her sign was down. We didn't think she was doing it anymore. So we didn't stop that day. But then we heard later she was. So just before we come home, we had a little bit of money left for food. We went and visited with Sylvia. And her husband now has Alzheimer's, and he's very paranoid. He locked himself in the house while we were there because he was afraid of us. So we sat outside and visited with her. And this is in front of her house at her table. And she speaks English pretty good, but she has trouble understanding when we talk to her. So we have to talk really slow. So we just let her do a lot of talking and tell us about what she's doing. When COVID was on, the teachers would tell her which kids needed food, and she and her son would take food and drop off at the houses. Now she's feeding kids at her house again, and her husband hides in part of the house when they come. But we would give her money for groceries. We thought she could buy what she needed. But as we talked, we realized that the need was greater than what we realized. So Howard says, "Let's go shopping." I said, "Okay, you want to come with us, Sylvia?" Well, she was up and banging on the door to get it, her purse and come out. So we went shopping. So the top picture is of her and I shopping in the store. I'd say, "What do you want, Sylvia? Do you want potatoes?" "Yes." So she'd get a bag of potatoes. I said, "Do you want two?" "See." So we get two. Creozo sausage. She got little ones. I said, "Oh, they must have bigger, don't they?" She has a fridge and a freezer. So we bought bigger ones. "You want two? Deuce? See." So we fill up the cart. And this is just a few other pictures to show you what a store in Mexico is like. The meat counter, if you're there the day the meat comes in, it looks pretty good. But by about day 4 or 5, I don't think I would buy. And things is just stacked up everywhere, so it's hard to get down the aisles. They're so close. Next, please. And at the end of the season, Sundance Park, we didn't get to go to church there this year because the park had rules that you couldn't attend an event in the park because of COVID. So we only got to go 2 Sundays at the end of the season at Sundance, and they sponsored us. They had to pay $3 each for us to come in, so $6 for both of us, and somebody had to sponsor us. Yeah, we went to church in our park, but I miss Sundance. It was really hard. The church we were in Westwind, I said to Howard after the first Sunday, "Man, there's a lot of old people there." And he says, "Well, what do you expect? It's a seniors resort." And the next Sunday, he says, "You're right. There are a lot of old people there." We were very young in comparison to most people at the church, and we're not that young. So at the end of the season, when we were in Sundance the first year, we collected food and took it to Mexico. So Pastor Tim and Diane said they would collect food, so they did. So 7 trips went to Mexico. Bethany picked up 4 and took to Miguel's church. Ulysses picked up 2, and we picked up 1 that we took to Ulysses' church. That big Rubbermaid tub is full of frozen meat. The back of the van here is full of dry goods. There's flour, there's chips, there's cornmeal, there's everything that you have left in your cupboard at the end of the season goes in the garbage, or you can take it down to Crossroads, but that's inconvenient. So a lot of food goes in the garbage. In the back seat, you can see salad dressings, mustards, ketchup, all kinds of stuff. Our van is loaded. We never got the stickers for our van. They never came. So we got pulled over to secondary. When we crossed the border into Mexico, they would pull us over and go through our van. And our van has some, you fold the seats, go and go for the seats. They would check at least one of them every time. This day they pulled us over, and we had covered everything up that was frozen with blankets. So it looks a little suspicious maybe. But anyhow, the guy come to my window and he wanted my papers. At the same time, a lady come to Howard's window and she wanted to open the back door. So she did, and I give the papers, and he always opens the trunk and looks in the back of the van. He went and checked the plates, come back to my window, looks over at the girl. Oh, and when she was digging in the box, I said, "Frozen meat." "See," she says. He looks at her through the van, and she nods her head, and away they sent us. They never checked half of the stuff. All she checked was that Rubbermaid tub. So God was definitely there. We've never heard of people being turned back with food. But Kurt takes shoes in. If they find shoes in the vehicle, they turn him back. If you take other stuff in, they'll charge you a fee. And it's whatever they decide it's worth to them. They took some ambulance stuff in. Ulysses tried to cross some ambulance stuff. And they wanted, what was it, $1,000? The border guard wanted. And we're told that money goes right in his pocket. Next slide, please. So when we got to Ulysses, we set tables up, put the food all on it. Along the wall is the frozen stuff, and then they called people from the church to come pick it up. So the lady in the right-hand top, she's married to Jorge, and he's the welder that worked on the house. I have pictures of the guys that were working on the house that day. Here we fed them dinner. There was a large, Sundance had given them a large bag of cranberry meatballs. So we warmed that up. There were baked potatoes. We chopped them up and fed them. One of these guys, I picked up a box of the frozen meat, and I told him, "There's meat, there's carne, take some." He looks at me, he says, "Carne?" I said, "Yeah." He takes the whole box. And he's walking away, and Ulysses says, "What is he doing?" I said, "Does he have a fridge?" "Yeah." "Does he have a family?" "Yeah." I said, "Just let him have it." So, next slide, please. This is Leo and his family. And we met Leo the first year we were down there. And every year, Howard has bought him a tool when we left. And he says that he wanted to do something different. He's a runner in Algodones. He brings people in to the dentist, or now he's working for a pharmacy to buy stuff from his pharmacy. And this year he had a vision, and he says, "I need to start a business, and I'm saving money. I don't have enough. Can you lend me some money?" And Howard asked him how much, and he told us, and Howard says, "Well, I'll talk to Jill." So then we talked, and we said, "Well, should we just give it to him?" And Howard says, "No, I think we should lend it." He says he's a proud man, and he'll feel better if we lend it to him. So this is their optical that they built. And they just opened it about a week ago. He sold his first pair of glasses last Friday, and he sent me a picture, "Sold my first glasses, Jill." So this is in his hometown. It's not in Algodones, but it's in his hometown. His wife is a hairdresser, so this building they're renting, they're going to do hairstylist on one side, optical on the other. Optometrist comes in Wednesdays and Fridays and does exams for them, but his vision doesn't stop there. If this can go, he wants to do one in Algodones. So we feel we invested in his business to help him out a bit. Next slide, please. You've seen this first picture before. Ulysses come to our place, and he wanted to talk to us. He wondered if we could help him the way we had helped Miguel when he got a house. And we said, no. It's like we raised funds for a year before we built Miguel's house. It takes a lot of talking and visiting and with different people to raise funds to build a house. So just off the bat, no. And he says, can you pray about it, Sister Jill? I said, I guess so. So we prayed about it. And the next day, Howard said, so what do you think? I said, no, there's no time. I forget, we were into March, end of February. So a couple days later, Howard says, what do you think, Sister Jill? I said, that's not fair. But I said, well, maybe if the church would collect the money for us, but we don't have time. So then Ulysses, he messaged, just wondering if you're praying, Sister Jill. Anyhow, we prayed and some more, and then we decided, okay, we'd contact the church. Time is short. This isn't going to work. But it did. So then when we went to Mazatlan, we knew there was money coming in already. We knew about how much money we were going to have. And Ulysses is talking to other pastors in Mexicali, and they're saying, talk to the people and see if you can subdivide off one corner of the lot, because it's a large lot, and build a house for your family. Put it in your name. So he come to Howard, and Howard says, well, that's not my decision. Who helped you buy that land? Well, the church in Virginia. Then that's who you need to talk to. So he had to build up some nerve to do that. Finally, he did, and the church said, yes, go for it. We understand. That would give you a home for your family, and then if you have to move or something, you could sell it and have to buy a house. Because like here, where a lot of pastors live in the church rectory, you have nothing when you retire. Mexico, they don't have church rectories. So then the house doubled in size because now it's their house. It's their first home. So Ulysses is on the computer and he sends us these diagrams, and Howard says, no, they can't do this. There's not enough money. Like, this is a $30,000 home. And so after much discussion, looking at the land, looking around, Ulysses kept sending pictures. We go down, and Howard didn't sleep all night. He says, Ulysses, you're not going to like me. And Ulysses says, oh, I could never not like you, Howard. Why? Next slide, please. This is what they wanted. This is what Howard said they could build, about half of it. Well, they weren't real happy with that. Why not? Couldn't we just build the shell? Just build all of the shell, and then they'll finish it later. And Howard said, no. This is what you can afford. This is what God has provided for you. So he came around eventually. So on the back of this, there's two more bedrooms, a big living room, laundry and stuff at the back. It's built with steel studs, so eventually they could move the wall back and build on. But that's down the road. Next slide, please. So then there's much discussion about where this house will go. All those cement pillars have to go. The homeless man in the back rolled them all out onto the street the night that they knocked them down. Police were there in the morning because there could have been a bad accident. And so they hired a truck to haul them away. When you're shopping in Mexico for windows, we didn't go to Home Depot. There is no Home Depot. We go to this old house, like you might see on a farm that's vacant here. And you dig through the windows and find windows. The top picture, we went to Mexicali, and we went to a place where they were making steel studs and steel roofing. And Jorge had a wholesale number, so we were able to buy there quite cheaply. Next slide, please. Jorge is the man at the top. He was in a bad accident 5 years ago. He was in the back of a van, and a Greyhound bus ran into them. And he was really broken up. He walks with a cane or a walker, and he crawls up these ladders in wealth. His wife is there. She holds the ladder. She lifts stuff up to him, and that's what they do. They hired this guy to haul those pillars away because of the homeless man that was rolling them up. We wanted to buy ceramic tiles before we came home because they're expensive, and we wanted to see they had them for their floor. We could not find ceramic tiles for a decent price. If we found them and they were a good price, they didn't have them. You couldn't get them anymore. But much shopping for that. Next slide, please. So when we left styrofoam, plywood, electrical, gyprock. The truck is loaded with the ceramic tiles, plus all the metal that they had for the house. There was much, much more stuff. But this is in the garage at Ulysses' house. Next slide, please. And this is just a picture after the cement was poured. There was a video I really wanted to show, but I couldn't figure out how to put it on the PowerPoint. When they were pouring the cement, the man had a milk crate. And that's how he tamped the cement. He put the milk crate up and down, up and down, up and down, all through the cement to tamp it. And the electrical, and Miguel doing the drywall. Next slide, please. This is the house on Saturday, yesterday. The tiles are all down. This is in the living room on the top left. The bottom one is looking from the bathroom into the bedroom. The middle one is looking from the bedroom into the bathroom closet. And the far right is looking out to the front of the house, the kitchen and the door. Next slide, please. And this is Farella. And she loves her new house. She's got the garden hose. The water's hooked up there now for the house. They just got to get it hooked into the house, and soon they'll be able to move in. And that's the end of our slideshow. But being it's Father's Day, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about fathers. I've never got to talk to fathers on Father's Day before. I have some special guests here today that I didn't know were going to be here. So if I get a little teary-eyed, I'm sorry. Anyhow, I titled this A Father's Love. I was the oldest of four children. There's 4 years between myself and my sister and 6 and 7 between my brothers and myself. So I got to go a lot of places with my dad. He farmed and he delivered mail. And I don't remember how old I was when he delivered mail, but sometimes I'd get to go with him. And that was just special. There was a gas station store, and he'd stop. He'd always have a little visit there. Deuteronomy 6, 5, and 7 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. We had a set of Bible story books. They were like a set of encyclopedias. And I remember Dad often reading us stories out of that when I was young. One day, got to go for a ride on the tractor, and the root got stuck in the cultivator, and Dad got out to take it out. And then he said, grab the vinegar jug full of frozen water, and we had a drink in the shade of the tractor. And he pointed out there was a hawk flying, and how miraculously it was made. And then we saw a deer later. He always took time to point out God's creation. When our kids were little, Howard was farming and carpentering. And for a while, he taught carpentry for Southeast Community College. And I think this is the time when this happened. We had cows and pigs at home as well. So often he'd come home from work, and then he'd have to mix feed or something after supper. Bobby wasn't very big. I was just getting him ready for bed. And Dad come into the porch. We were going to read a story before he went to bed, and he grabbed the book and ran to the porch. I followed to see Howard sit down on the porch with his skidoo suit, winter boots, toque and gloves on, took his gloves off and read the story, even though he was busy. Dads, it's so important the time you spend with your children, whether they're young or old. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they were old, they will not depart from it. My dad believed that. He also lived it. He was active in a church as the usher most Sundays, and my mom played the piano, so if the church doors were open, it seemed we were there. Dad made sure we went to church, Sunday school, VBS, youth group. He was always willing to help out as a youth leader or driver. And if one of my friends needed money to attend a function, he was always willing to help support them. Howard and I had a small white car. Some of you might remember. It had a hatchback. It was barely big enough for our four kids, but we would take our four kids plus maybe, I don't know, six or eight more in this car. We would come to the church on Wednesday nights, open the hatch, open the doors. They would all climb in, and Howard took them down faithfully to Grenfell for kids' club. Later, we had a large van, and we hauled teens around for youth group. Howard even took 17 in that big van to Edmonton one year for youth retreat. Being the oldest, I got to do lots of things with my dad. When I was little, a ride on the tractor was great. Then I got to learn how to drive pretty early on the farm. And then I got to drive the tractor in the field, and that was even greater. Those are precious memories I have of my dad. My sister would sometimes complain. Being 4 years younger, she wasn't able to drive the tractor. She got to weed garden. Howard and I had many foster boys over the years. Some of them you'll remember. William. Some of you might remember William. He phoned last week, and he's all excited. Jill, do you remember when Howard let me drive the white van out in the field? And that was at least 15 years ago, and it's still a highlight in his life. Dads, remember to take those few minutes out of your days. They might be the memories your dads hold or your kids hold dear. Jesus is talking in Matthew 7:9-11. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, would give him a stone? If you ask for a fish, would give him a snake? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask him? As parents, we always want to give our kids good things. Howard will tell you, my dad spoiled me. I don't think he did. But I don't remember him telling me no many times. He taught me to work hard. He taught me to do a good job. He taught by example. And he always had time for a friend. Psalms 100:1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Coming into his presence with singing. In church, Dad said he sang solo. Solo, nobody could hear him. But Dad loved to sing hymns. He didn't carry a tune very well, but that didn't stop. And when he was working, he would sing and sing. But he couldn't always remember the words either. So my brother-in-law now, who was a good friend of Dad back then, he says, your dad would sing the hymns, but we couldn't sing along because the words kept changing. Don't be afraid to let your dad see the real you. Or your kids see the real you, sorry. You've never met my dad because he died in a car accident. November 17th. I wasn't going to do this. 1975, just 2 weeks before Howard and I got married. But I've hung on to the promise of God. Psalm 68:5, a father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows, in God in his holy dwelling. My earthly father isn't here, but God has promised to be my father. Over the years, Howard's dad filled the father role in my life. And then Mom remarried 10 years later, and Dennis was a strong father figure. Both loved me as a daughter, and both were very active as grandfathers in our children's lives. Psalms 103:13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those that fear him. Just like our earthly fathers love us, God loves us so much more. And I just wanted to end with something a little lighter. Bobby gave me this card for Mother's Day. And I thought it was kind of fit with today. Stuff you ask Mom. What's for dinner? What time is it? How come? Why not? When is it my turn? Can I have more? Where is it? Will you read this to me? Can I watch TV? Can I play with this? Do I have to go to bed? Stuff you ask Dad. Where's Mom? Happy Father's Day to all the dads. I hope you have a blessed day.